I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I want you to understand, and everyone should know, that Iran poses a very grave threat to the United States and has for a very long time. They are in possession, first and foremost, after their nuclear program was obliterated, they were told not to try to restart it, and here they are. You can see them always trying to rebuild elements of it. They're not enriching right now, but they're trying to get to the point where they ultimately can. The other thing I would point you to, however, is that Iran possesses a very large number of ballistic missiles, particularly short-range ballistic missiles that threaten the United States and our bases in the region and our partners in the region and all of our bases in the UAE and Qatar and in Bahrain. And they also possess naval assets that threaten shipping and try to threaten the U.S. Navy. So I want everyone to understand that, and beyond just the nuclear program, they possess these conventional weapons that are solely designed to attack America and attack Americans if they so choose to do so.
Secretary of State Rubio making it very clear, we're not just looking at Iran because of their nuclear program, which is obviously the key thing on our table that we need to be concerned about. What we also need to be worried about is what they can do with ballistic missiles. And President Trump has even made that very clear. He said Iran's ballistic missiles can reach the U.S. with a little bit more development. They could have that development by 2035 at the minimum, using space launch technology, acting like, oh, we're building missiles to go into space, my arse, you want to hit the USA. We cannot allow this to continue. We cannot allow it. We are obviously worried about the nuclear facilities they're trying to reconstruct. And that's a direct threat to Israel and all the Middle East and the world. But now the ballistic missiles that could hit our nation, they're saying we're just firing a rocket up to test a space program. No one here believes that. They know we don't believe it, but they continue to tell the lie. And I don't see a single Democrat coming out and saying this is a legitimate concern. Now, all they want to do is go after Trump if he even takes any action against Iran. Well, you need our approval. Well, you need to make sure you're fully transparent. Are you expecting transparency from the Iranian government? Just how stupid are you? Don't bother answering that. I think we all know. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA. And yes, once again, we're out of the gates like a bull. We got a lot to cover today. I mean, we're going to be charging in a lot of different directions. And I remind you, we're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And when Larry Connors USA is on the air, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more information than you have right now. I promise you that. In reminding you, you can watch us live. Simply go to Do Us Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble. And if you miss any part of our program, audio or video, and you want to go back and pull it up, or more importantly, you want to share it with others, go to News Talk STL Podcast, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook, and then push share, send it on to others. We're reaching all across the nation with your help, and around the world when you get down to it. In our next hour, Hillary did her Epstein closed-door deposition yesterday, immediately came out and complained, no, this is a bunch of nonsense, and they tried to break the rules we set in place. See, she agreed to go in there if there were only certain rules were followed, and apparently they did not follow the rules exactly at some point. She said, there's nothing to learn. I don't know nothing. I know nothing. But today, Bill Clinton was in there, and he's definitely had contact with Epstein. And again, it's a closed-door deposition. You're hearing things, of course, that might have taken place after his deposition, but this material is being gathered to present as a public presentation. which ironically is what Hillary was saying when she came out. This should have all been made public. Let the whole public see it. She can say that. I don't think you're going to hear Bill Clinton say, oh, yeah, let's go full public with it. But that's where it's going to end up. And the Democrats continue to attack ICE, and say that they are a threat to our nation. They're illegals. They're not such a threat. But again, I ask, where are the leftists who are willing to come forward and say, I will sign up to be a caretaker and be responsible for an illegal that you're going to deport? They can live with my family. They can bunk in the room with my children. No one's going to do that. They don't want them in their home. They don't care if they go into your home. That's later in our next hour. Later this hour, more evidence of a deep state. Kristi Noem's gone down this road before, but some of the stuff she's detailing, I think, is worth re-mentioning. Because it's not just against Donald Trump. It's against our country. There's some useful idiots inside the deep state. They think they're just targeting Trump. They don't realize, I guess, that some of that same intel and information is going direct to the Chi-Com and the Russians. And our story behind the story. We have had two vice presidents resign in our history. Two. The last one resigning after facing federal and other, felony charges of bribery and kickbacks. That's our story behind the story today. Back to the issue with Iran, which is pressing. The fingers are on the trigger. They're just waiting for the order. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton.
Remember, they believe for 47 years that they can't win a war, but they can win any negotiation. I think with Donald Trump, they're likely to lose both. As you said, they're refusing to stop enriching uranium. That was a central demand of the president going back 10 years. And as Marco Rubio very critically pointed out, this is not just about their nuclear program. They have thousands of ballistic missiles that threaten our bases in the Middle East, in Diego Garcia, in the Indian Ocean. Some of them can even range our bases in Europe. And they want to build missiles, as the president and Marco have said, to reach the United States. They have a space launch program, Sean. When was the last time you heard of Iran putting an astronaut into space? The reason they have that space launch program is it's the exact same technology that would be used to build intercontinental missiles to hit us here in the United States. We cannot allow Iran to continue to build this massive missile arsenal to threaten our people, our homeland, our troops, and our friends.
No, we can't do that. Of course, he was appearing on with Sean Hannity last night. And the U.S. is adopting a new tactic. We are apparently positioning the first dedicated one-way kamikaze drones for use against Iran. These are drones we're going to send up, and we don't care if they come back. We want them to crash into a particular site. And apparently we have hundreds ready to go. Iran may have already heard about it. If not, they're going to hear about it. And if they still don't get it, they might get one in their lap. These are not, obviously, manned drones. These are robotic drones, and we're going to send them in to targets already designated. They're not going to have to go in and try to shoot a particular target. They're going to right down the chute at that target. The talks the other day wrapped up yesterday with the key envoys for both sides. For our side, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. Again, pressing Tehran, dismantle your primary nuclear facilities right now and shut down your ballistic missile program. Tehran walked away and said no. So there are more talks. Listen to that. More talks are scheduled next week. It is a rope-a-dope to some extent, as we talked about, but these are going to be low-level talks. No one's expecting anything to come out of them. And there is a reason, actually, that the U.S. is willing to play a little rope-a-dope. Niall Ferguson with the Hoover Institute.
I think that's most likely, given that the Iranian position hasn't changed. They not only are continuing to enrich, they want to keep enriching, but they also intend to continue with the missile program, as well as with the proxies that they have funded throughout the region to carry out their terrorist campaigns. The American negotiators, Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, as well as Secretary of State Marco Rubio, have made clear that President Trump's red lines include the end of enrichment as well as the end of the missile program and the proxy funding. The Iranians are not going to give ground on those issues.
In other words, we're using this time to get more things in place and ready, as are the Iranians, but they don't have that much to prepare for and not much they can do. And again, Secretary of State Rubio talking about the very threat we will face if we don't put a stop to it now.
Ultimately, all radical Islamic movements in the world identify the West writ large, but the United States in particular, as the greatest evil on the earth. And every chance to have the notion that somehow radical Islam would be comfortable with simply controlling some province in Iraq or Syria is just not borne out by history. Radical Islam has shown that their desire is not simply to occupy one part of the world and be happy with their own little caliphate. They want to expand. It's revolutionary in its nature. It seeks to expand and control more territories and more people. And radical Islam has designs openly on the West, on the United States, on Europe. We've seen that progress there as well. And they are prepared to conduct acts of terrorism, in the case of Iran, nation-state actions, assassinations, murders, you name it, whatever it takes for them to gain their influence and ultimately their domination of different cultures and societies.
So our State Department has made it very clear to the embassy staff we have in Israel and in Lebanon and other targets that could be hit by Iran by ballistic missiles, we're going to move you and your families out unless you're essential personnel. We're clearing the offices. When they start doing that, you have to know things are going to start raining down at any point. There will be, unfortunately, innocent casualties on both sides. Of course, the Iranians don't look at either innocent casualties, be it Israeli citizens, not military, be it their own citizens, because they don't mind the body count making it look how bad we are. Will we get through this weekend without war breaking out? Come Sunday in your church, if we haven't had it happen, I think, again, you need to enter more prayers. And in the meantime, we do have enemies inside our government, the deep state. And the deep state is not just against Trump, but is against our nation. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Noem previously offered an example.
I just found the other day a whole room in on this campus that was a secret SCIF, secure facility, that had files nobody knew existed. So we just happened to have an employee walked by a door and wonder what it was and started asking questions. We went in there. There was individuals working there that had secret files that nobody knew about on some of these most controversial topics like that. And now I've got that turned over to attorneys and we're getting to the bottom of what exactly happened there. You know, we have CBP, which is Customs and Border Protection. They know every traveler that comes into this country, every good that comes in. They're the ones who assess and collect all of the tariffs. But the information that they had on travelers that came in during COVID, what our national labs, which I also have national labs under my jurisdiction, their scientists that participated with that Wuhan lab, how they were traveling back and forth between each other and working on those experiments, it's been eye-opening.
Eye-opening. I mean, seriously. I mean, stop and think about what they were doing. They knew where Chinese were being involved in Wuhan. They were aware of it. And they were not really sharing with our government, apparently. So when I say that they are not just deep state against Trump, Republicans, MAGA, many of them are useful tools or idiots or paid tools for the Chinese and the Russians. And they even got around to spying directly on Kristi Noem.
It was, Elon and his team were extremely helpful to me. They helped me identify that some of my own employees in my department had downloaded software on my phone and my laptop to spy on me.
Stop it.
To record our meetings.
Wow.
They had done that to several of the politicals.
Wow.
And so we ended up bringing in people. And that was something that if you didn't have those technology experts here in the department looking at all of our laptops and our phones and recognizing that kind of software, it would still be happening today. So one of the things I need to do and continue to do is partner with technology companies and experts to bring them in and help us. Because many times in government, and especially in this department, which was extremely neglected, we were just behind and not up to the standard we should be at.
So she knows they need to reinforce. That was part of an interview she was giving to a group called the BBT podcast, I believe. The White House Chief of Staff, Susie Wiles, attorney, in 2023, supposedly, the argument is that he agreed to let the Biden-era FBI record a call with his client, Susie Wiles, with her knowledge. Her attorney says, if I ever pulled a stunt like that, and I shouldn't, I wouldn't have a license to practice law. I'm as shocked as Susie. Yes, they were even tapping into Susie Wiles' phone with a Biden FBI permission. Again, Kristi Noem on just how deep the deep state is.
The backwards thinking of protecting our country was extremely detrimental to keeping us safe. And many times the deep state, I think what I tell people most of the time is I always believed when people talked about the deep state before that it existed. I never would have dreamed that it was as bad as it is. It is. I'm still every day trying to dig out people who don't love America, that not just work at this department, but also work throughout the federal government.
And again, this key, I can't stress enough, is not just going after Trump, MAGA, Republicans, conservatives, but against our nation. And Democrats are too foolish to recognize that. I think some do, but they are quiet. Coming up, men are being castrated by the leftists. I mean literally and figuratively. And the time when our vice president resigned after bribery charges. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. The best thing I ever did for my neck and back pain was go to Esquire Sports Medicine. Dr. Draghi and his staff can take care of those pains. If they can't, they'll refer you to a specialist. And when you're hurting, you don't want to wait. So often with Dr. Draghi and Esquire Sports Medicine, you're treated within 24 hours. For any joint or muscle pain, contact my doctor, Dr. Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine, on Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.
Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another on Saturday night. Don't you cross your heart, let your hope die. Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Many are of the belief that we have a crisis in men's health. In the U.S., American men are dying 5 years sooner than women. Suicide rates of men, 4 times higher. In Britain, Prince William pointed out the soaring male suicide rates in the U.K. as a national catastrophe. What is going on? How much of this to be laid at the feet of the leftists as they're trying to destroy men in other ways? Joining us now, Ed Bartlett, founder of SAVE, an organization focused on fairness and due process. Ed, I hear you in the background. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Larry. Good to hear from you. Good to chat with you.
So I want to point out to everyone, SAVE is Stop Abusive and Violent Environments. This is a nonprofit organization trying to ensure due process, fairness, and equal opportunities for men. Now, based on what I was just saying before you came on board, a crisis in men's health, suicide rates up, and I want to know how much of things facing men now can be laid at the feet of leftists trying to demasculinize, castrate men, basically.
Well, Larry, I think you framed the issue beautifully, and the men have undergone a series of attacks on their sense of maleness, on their sense of masculinity. It was all the way back to the 1960s. Do you remember the first time you heard the word patriarchy and you wondered what the hell were they talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So it does go back to the 1960s. Patriarchy was sort of the overall sweeping word to say men as a whole, as a group, all they care about is oppressing women. And the evidence to make that claim was that, the majority of CEOs, the majority of presidents, the majority of lawmakers were male. What that analysis failed to recognize is men are very driven by chivalry. Chivalry means that they are taking actions to protect men, to protect women, benefit women, support women, et cetera, et cetera. I can give you many, many examples of male lawmakers passing laws designed explicitly to help women. So the whole concept of patriarchy is a fallacy.
Well, I'm very big on chivalry. Believe me, I insist on opening a door for a woman, and they may often say, I can do it. I said, I'm not saying you can't do it, but a woman, if there's a man with her, a woman should never have to touch a door. Now, talking about some of the legislation last week, H.R. 7602 was introduced in the House, called the State of Men's Health, calling for a detailed analysis of the leading causes of male mortality.
Well, yes, and I think it's fair to say, Larry, that we are seeing a wave of support for men's health across the nation. And that law bill that was introduced in the House of Representatives is just one example. I live in the state of Maryland. We have a bill that was just introduced on men's health just a few weeks ago. California, Virginia, Washington State, they all have new programs to help men's health. In November, the American Medical Association approved a new resolution urging states to establish offices of men's health. And the list goes on and on.
Let me interrupt. And none of this is at the cost of care and health for women.
Well, that's exactly right. But even more than that, this will benefit women. And I'll give you a specific example, is that if an elderly woman's husband dies, her chance of being sent to a nursing home increases 3 to 6 times. Mm. Okay. And that's just a common sense fact that in fact has been supported by research. So this is not an either or game. Feminists love to, you know, present these issues as either or, but no, these are and both. Helping men to live longer lives will help women as well.
All right, let's talk about one particular thing. A prostate cancer, most men are basically told if you're going to get it, if you live long enough, you're probably going to have prostate cancer. And we find it early enough and we can treat it and you'll be fine. But over the years, 14% of the National Institutes of Health research budget dealing with health for men and women, 14% was allocated for women's health, 6% for men's health. What's the disparity issue?
Yeah, well, feminists love to make the claim that women were shortchanged by medical research, which is an absolute lie. And I'm just going to say that word bluntly. It's just absolutely not true. And I know because I've really researched the issue. Women have always been included in NIH research, and even larger numbers of women overall than men. So, you know, it's just an example of the dishonesty that we hear.
Well, the other issue is they're talking men, young boys, grooming them to cut off perfectly good parts of their body so they can, quote, become a woman. And then they're actually turning around and going to young women and saying, well, chop off your breast so you can become a man. And none of that is going to prove effective. And we already have watched the repercussions of folks on puberty blockers and or transsexual surgery manifest itself in several killings. But the left ignores the risk that's being taken with men and women and boys and girls.
Well, that's a perfect example of how these myths spread and spread. So just as you said, the myth that you can change your sex or your gender at will, that is harmful to boys and it's harmful to girls. You may recall during the State of the Union address a few days ago, President Trump highlighted a girl from Virginia, and she got caught up in this transgender cult.
Right, right.
And she ended up, you know, running away from home. I won't go into the details because they're pretty gory and sad.
Right,
but
right.
The point is, transgenderism has been a huge disservice both to men and to women.
So the American Medical Association, last November, approved a resolution urging states to establish more offices to treat men's health. And yet the AMA has yet to come out and condemn transgender transformations.
Yeah, I'll admit I don't know all the details or the political intrigue at the AMA. But, yeah, it does kind of seem like a contradiction on the surface of things.
I'll clarify it. It is a contradiction. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. You may have heard in Maryland there is a big lawsuit against the Montgomery County Public Schools, which is the biggest school system in Maryland. And the MCPS had to pay out, I believe it was $1.5 million to parents because parents had been deprived of the ability to withhold their own children from attending classes that promoted the transgender ideology. So I think it's fair to say the transgender cult is in retreat right now. They're still fighting, but it is in retreat.
And yet they try to mask what they're doing. Perfect example, California Governor Newsom issued an executive order to address high suicide rates among men and boys. That sounds good. But at the same time, he's also pushing transgender transformations.
I know. Well, obviously, when you get into politics, it's, you know, you're always trying to cater to different constituencies, and the result is sometimes it's a logical mess. But and that's a great example. So, but again, I think it's fair to say the transgender movement is in retreat in the United States and around the world. But we need to keep fighting that good fight.
I do agree that we also have a Dads Matter Act that's been introduced in both the Senate and the House that would encourage fathers of newborns and fathers-to-be to be actively involved in promoting the welfare of the mother and the child, regardless if the child is boy or girl. I think that's good. We need dads involved, period.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another example where the feminist left has tried to marginalize fathers as being at best irrelevant and at worst harmful to their children. It's an absolute lie to say or imply that fathers are not, you know, vitally important for their own children's health. You may have seen the New York Times just had an article last week showing that the presence of fathers was more important to the health of their children than the presence of mothers. So that was a pretty shocking finding.
Yeah, it is. Ed Bartlett, founder of SAVE, an organization focused on fairness and due process on college campuses and dedicated to fair and equal opportunities for men. Ed, as always, thank you for your time, sir.
Great to chat with you. Be in touch.
You bet. God bless. Have a great weekend. Coming up, during the history of our nation, we've had two vice presidents resign. Can you name them? And do you know why? Story behind the story.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
'26, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. Every ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
You will repeat after me. I, Spiro Theodore Agnew.
I, Spiro Theodore Agnew.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservations.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help you God.
So help me God.
That was Spiro Agnew taking the oath of office as the vice president under Richard Nixon. And he would end up resigning as vice president as several charges, felony charges, came against him. Not committed while he was vice president, but committed in his prior political life. I'm going to break it down for you. I told you there have been two vice presidents who have resigned. The first was John C. Calhoun. He resigned, stepping down in 1832 during his second term. Shortly before it ended. It was not a political, or I should say criminal or civil charges against him that brought it. It was his disagreement with the president at the time, Andrew Jackson, regarding nullification and states' rights. So he decided to step down and resign. Calhoun had served under two different presidents, John Quincy Adams, in addition to Jackson. But again, the conflict with Jackson was over tariffs. You've heard that word lately, have you not? And federal power. That was known as a nullification crisis that he felt made his position untenable. Immediately replaced by Martin Van Buren for Jackson's second term. Political issue. Spiro Agnew, a criminal issue. A member of the Republican Party, obviously, served as the third executive of Baltimore County from 1962 to 66. He was the 55th governor of Maryland from 67 to 69. Agnew was born in Baltimore and later ended up, at the time he was getting married, he'd been drafted into the U.S. Army shortly after the Pearl Harbor attack, December 1941. He started basic training in South Carolina, eventually ended up in OCS, Officer Candidate School, Fort Knox, Kentucky. And then on May 24th, 1942, 3 days before his wedding, he became a second lieutenant. Got a quick two-day honeymoon and then off to the front for the buildup of D-Day. He actually remained on standby in Birmingham before he headed off to England. And then he came into the orbit of Richard Nixon, because he had suddenly recognized that he was political material. He was campaigning vigorously for Republicans, did get one position, appointment, but he was still after more. And when Nixon was in running, he was besieged by who could you pull up as a vice president? Agnew came to the forefront. Not that there were not others to be considered, but Agnew was at the top of the list. And until the April 1968 disturbances we had across the nation, racial disturbances, his image was that he was a liberal Republican. Because in 64, he supported the presidential ambitions of Governor Nelson Rockefeller of New York. In fact, he was chairman of Rockefeller for President Citizens Committee. Then in a televised speech, March 1968, Rockefeller shocked his supporters with an apparently unequivocal withdrawal from the race. Agnew was dismayed, humiliated. He had gotten no advance warning. He took it as a personal insult. And within days of that, here came supporters of former Vice President Richard Nixon to get him to stand with Nixon and run against the Democrat ticket. Nixon went into the 68 Republican National Convention in Miami, considering several, including Ronald Reagan, and even John Lindsay, the more liberal mayor of New York City. Nixon felt those high-profile names would split the party, or I would say he felt that they might draw attention away from him. He actually didn't indicate a preferred choice at that time. But Agnew went to the convention with his Maryland delegation as a favorite son. And at the convention, Agnew abandoned his favorite son status, and he placed Nixon's name in nomination. So Nixon narrowly secured the nomination on the first ballot. Then what to do about a vice president, someone to run with him? He turned to Agnew, he thought could appeal to Rockefeller Republicans and maybe acceptable to Southern conservatives. Law and order. Law and order was an issue Agnew had been failing on. He ended up being charged with various crimes that included basically included using his position as governor, as an exec within Baltimore, to make deals and take kickbacks and money. Agnew insisted, "I'm innocent." And he held a news conference when he called the stories damned lies. Nixon was beginning to lose confidence in him. And with Watergate was beginning to spin up, Nixon had to worry about that as well. And with the increasing pressure for him to resign, Agnew had the position a sitting vice president could not be indicted. He met with Speaker of the House, Carl Albert. And they basically decided, nah, you may not be necessarily indicted, but you are facing these charges, and it might well not work for the party in at all. And, of course, Agnew had to worry about his own skin. So then Spiro Agnew made a statement to the public.
While I'm fully aware that the plea of nolo contendere was the equivalent of a plea of guilty for the purpose of that negotiated proceeding in Baltimore, it does not represent a confession of any guilt whatever for any other purpose. I made the plea because it was the only way to quickly resolve the situation. In this technological age, image becomes dominant. Appearance supersedes reality. An appearance of wrongdoing, whether true in or false in fact, is damaging to any man. But more important, it is fatal to a man who must be ready at any moment to step into the presidency. The American people deserve to have a vice president who commands their unimpaired confidence and implicit trust. For more than 2 months now, you have not had such a vice president.
He acknowledged the damage it was causing to the nation and, of course, himself. He made his decision on October 5th. October 9, he visited Nixon at the White House, informed him that I'm going to resign and enter a plea. And yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
Had I remained in office and fought to vindicate myself through the courts and the Congress, it would have meant subjecting the country to a further agonizing period of months without an unclouded successor for the presidency. This I could not do, despite my tormented verbal assertion in Los Angeles. To put his country through the ordeal of division and uncertainty that entailed would be a selfish and unpatriotic action for any man in the best of times. But at this especially critical time, with a dangerous war raging in the Mideast, and with the nation still torn by the wrenching experiences of the past year, it would have been intolerable. So I chose instead not to contest formally the accusations against me.
Spiro Agnew, and we referred to the war in the Middle East, he's talking about Vietnam. And he pled nolo contendere. I'm not pleading guilty, but it basically is a statement that there's enough evidence against me, I'll probably be found guilty. And decided, for the betterment of the nation, I will enter that plea. So on October 10, 1973, he did appear before a federal court in Baltimore, pleading nolo contendere, no contest, to one felony charge, tax evasion, for the year 1967. And it had been agreed with the prosecutors there would be no further prosecution. And a 40-page summary of the evidence against him was made public. Well, what happened to Agnew? He was fined. How much, you ask? $10,000. $10,000. Placed on 3 years unsupervised probation. And immediately prior to entering the court, he had an aide submit his formal letter of resignation to the Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger. And he sent a letter to Nixon stating, I am resigning in the best interest of our nation. Nixon in turn responded with a letter concurring the resignation was necessary to avoid a lengthy period of division and uncertainty, and applauding Agnew for patriotism and dedication to the welfare of the U.S. And it was shortly after that, suddenly Watergate was breaking and taking over the headlines. Some of the stuff Agnew had failed to deal with on these attempted briberies involved in one part slot machine industry, getting anywhere from $20,000 in one payment to $75,000 another, $200,000 another. He had promised not to veto legislation keeping the machines legal in Southern Maryland. And he justified again his silence on the grounds that no actual offer was ever made. As he said, quote, "Nobody sat down in front of me with a suitcase full of money." I believe that. I doubt anybody walked into his office and opened up a suitcase full of money. But obviously others said you still not only walked the line, you crossed the line. He did his best to stay away from it. And the best he had done was get into the orb of Richard Nixon. But it also became evident that that was a world that was collapsing. So Agnew got out, and Gerald Ford came in. Agnew passed away September 17, 1996. Our nation's second vice president to resign from that office. Monday, another story behind the story. It's a regular feature of our 6 o'clock hour. Second hour is still to come, and I remind you of our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, and you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.